The story that follows is based on research and actual life stories, but is also the product of a fertile imagination, as you'll see. Until the age of 36, Renee felt that her life was full of blessings. In recent years, the dreams of her youth had been becoming a reality. She could remember how at the age of 16, she wrote in her journal that she had three dreams in life: to find true love, to have beautiful children, and to become a veterinarian. At the age of 33, she had achieved one of those dreams by becoming a partner at the Rutherford Animal Clinic. A year later, she would meet Rick at a party thrown by a member of her church. Rick was sweet, charming, and considerate. He was small in stature, but handsome in looks. He was successful as an architect, but was by no means pretentious about it. In 16 months, Renee and Rick were married, and not long after that, they began working on Renee's last remaining dream of having beautiful children. Nearly a year into their marriage, the early warning signs began to appear. Although Renee did not know it at the time, one sign was that Rick's considerate attention slowly morphed into a disguise for more controlling behavior. Rick closely monitored and regulated how Renee spent her time and her money because he was, quote, looking out for her best interests. He was concerned that they should maintain a sensible lifestyle by not spending too much money or stretching themselves too thin in their social commitments. In theory, the sentiments were not so objectionable, but in practice it meant that Renee could spend very little money even on basic necessities like groceries. It also meant that Renee was spending less time with friends and at church. In other words, Renee was becoming more isolated. Another warning sign. A plethora of other signs soon emerged. Rick had unrealistic expectations. He expected Renee to be perfect, to do everything as he believed it should obviously be done. When she didn't do things as he saw fit, another warning sign appeared. He would become excessively angry over small things like whether his pants were placed in the right drawer or whether Renee remembered to pick up his cereal on the way home from work. This, in turn, related to a further warning sign as Renee became the source of blame for everything and Rick became the one forced to suffer. According to Rick, he was the one in the marriage who was loving and caring, while Renee was thoughtless and only cared about herself. When Rick became angry and yelled at her, it was Renee who was at fault. She, quote, made him mad. While all of this had been unpleasant, to say the least, Renee wrote in her journal at the time that it was manageable and part of the normal course for a newly married couple as they learned to live together. Rick's controlling behavior and anger, however, continued to increase until one night Renee came home late from work when Rick was fuming about a bill that had accidentally gone unpaid. An argument erupted between the two of them over who was to have paid it. Renee was tired of being blamed for everything, and the argument escalated until they were yelling at each other, and Rick shoved Renee down onto the sofa so hard that her head crashed against the adjacent bookcase. Rick was profusely apologetic, even though he subtly blamed her for getting him so upset. At the time, Renee was uncertain how to interpret what had happened. She had trouble thinking of herself as being in an abusive relationship with the man who had fulfilled her dreams. In her journal, she agonized over whether it was her fault for arguing and yelling, whether Rick didn't mean to really hurt her, whether it was just an accident. Renee had a range of thoughts and emotions, but for the first time, a nagging question and sense of doubt about her marriage to Rick entered her mind. For the next several weeks, Rick treated her better than he had treated her for a long time. But slowly the warning signs began to reemerge until one night they found themselves in another argument over how much money each of them was to save each month for their next vacation. Even though Rick had the higher paying job, he expected Renee to contribute just as much. When she found herself unable to meet other necessary expenses, Rick blamed her for not doing her part in their relationship. The argument ended with Rick pinning Renee to their bed with his hands wrapped around her neck. As soon as she could free herself, Renee called the police from the bathroom before leaving, never to return. She had promised herself as a young woman that she would never stay in an abusive relationship. Moreover, her faith and trust in Rick had been irrevocably broken. What followed was a year of instability. First, there were the criminal proceedings, and then the divorce proceedings that Rick used to vent his anger and to cast further blame onto Renee. Renee, meanwhile, had trouble concentrating at work and thinking about anything other than how her blessed life had suddenly become so cursed. Friends and church members rallied to her support. With their help, she was able to function and survive. But it was not until the divorce was finalized that she really felt like she could start to put her life back together. The crucial question was how to put it back together. In her journal, she wondered to herself about whether there would ever be a way for her to feel blessed once again rather than cursed. Except for her veterinary practice, the dreams of her youth seemed distant and unattainable now. She was not ready to even think about dating again, and that seemed to cancel out her dream of one day having beautiful children. That is until she saw her angel. She was standing in the checkout line at the grocery store after work one day when she saw him. There he was, on the cover of the National Enquirer. John Travolta. While Travolta still had good looks at the age of 56, what made him an angel on that day was the hope that he and his wife, Kelly Preston, gave to Renee. Travolta and the 47-year-old Preston were expecting. More specifically, as the headline announced, they were expecting a test tube baby. Or to put it in less sensational language, they were expecting a baby boy conceived through in vitro fertilization, IVF for short. At first, Renee could scarcely imagine herself having kids in such a way, especially all by herself.